Talk Show. Recorded live.
Yeah. Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show, produced by Married Men Don't Talk, the talk show with the top-selling book of the same name. We come your way every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but you can get more info about this show by visiting our website, householdstress.com. Listeners can participate in one of our live weekly talk shows by calling in or logging on to householdstress.com from your personal computer as an anonymous guest. Phone lines are open right now, but this show is strictly for men only, so call into the hottest talk show in America. Now, we have a couple rules, and they are absolutely no profanity and no politics, and more importantly, no racial stuff. This show is apolitical and race neutral so that we can make sure that any man can feel comfortable on our show. And furthermore, this ain't Bible study, fellas. We want you to just be able to come to our show as a man, and that is it. This virtual talk show always presents the hottest topics for discussion, and tonight is no different. Tonight's topic is March of the Penguins. My name is Rodney, and I'll be your pilot, your zoologist, your biologist, and your scientist for the evening, and I might even DJ a little bit tonight, but more on that later. I've got a lot of material, and the hope is that I can get this plane off the ground and ultimately land on a safe conclusion. This is a fluid conversation, so if you do have something to say, please feel free to do so. Or if you just prefer to listen, that's absolutely fine as well. But please try to hang on until the end because you'll definitely want to hear the conclusion to tonight's episode. All right. With all of that said, let's get started. March of the Penguins is a 2005 French nature documentary film that was co-produced by National Geographic. This movie covers a year in the life of a group of penguins. Now, we are told at the beginning of the movie that their home, Antarctica, is the darkest, coldest, windiest, driest place on Earth. The film depicts the yearly journey of the penguins of Antarctica, and in autumn, all the penguins of breeding age, which are 5 years old and over, they leave the ocean, which is their normal habitat, to walk inland to the ancestral breeding grounds. There, the penguins participate in a courtship that, if successful, results in the hatching of a chick. For the chick to survive, both parents must make multiple arduous journeys between the ocean and the breeding grounds over the ensuing months. So, first question. Has anybody ever seen this movie other than me? Anybody ever seen this movie other than me? Anybody?
Yes.
You have? Good, brother. Good, good, good. And for the rest of you, have you at least heard of the movie, 2005 documentary?
Yeah.
Have you even heard of it? Heard of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Heard of it.
Heard of it.
Good. From what you've heard or from what you've seen, the brother, what did you think of it? What did you think of the movie?
I liked it. It was a good movie.
Okay.
I didn't realize penguins went through all that. Just
right.
To have a chick.
Just to have a chick. Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to break it down. Thank you, brother. And the movie will actually make you wonder what these penguins do when they're not mating or trying to care for their young. You know, maybe that's something they'll consider for the sequel. But, you know, to the brother that's seen it, would you say it's a good date movie? A good family movie, or both? Good date movie, good family movie, or both?
I'd say family.
Okay, all right, all right. Anybody want to agree with that, disagree with that? I guess we're the only ones that seen it, so we don't know yet. Yeah, we don't know yet. there are some sad points in the film when the penguins die.
Yep.
But, you know, brother, do you think that viewers of all ages could enjoy the film?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I actually watched it with my two daughters. They're 8 and 4. And they thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
They thoroughly enjoyed it. And, you know, in this case, nature documentaries are released quite regularly, but most don't perform as well in the marketplace or garner such critical recognition as The March of the Penguins. Some of the major nominations and awards, they won the Academy Award for Documentary Feature, the Best Edited Documentary, the Best Documentary, the Best Sound. It was nominated for the Writers Guild of America Documentary Screenplay Award. So the general consensus, fellas, among the critics was that March of the Penguins was the feel-good movie of the summer of 2005. It became one of the most successful films of that season and the second most successful documentary released in North America after Fahrenheit 9/11. It grossed over $77 million in the U.S. and Canada and has grossed over $127 million worldwide. Another movie about penguins called Happy Feet actually benefited from the making of this film. Happy Feet was in production when March of the Penguins was released. Taking advantage of the public interest in penguins, Happy Feet debuted as the top film in the United States on its opening weekend in 2006. And Happy Feet 2 is actually available on DVD and on demand right now, but I digress. Moving on, March of the Penguins engaged audiences both emotionally and thematically. The scenery is breathtaking. The director and the film crew spent more than 13 months filming, 13 months. And although the meeting place, the penguins' meeting place was known, the actual day on which it occurs wasn't known, so the crew had to be ready every day. Fortunately, the gathering the year the movie was filmed was huge, with more than 1,200 penguins gathering. The normal gathering is just a few hundred penguins. But, Andrew will know about this, for the cameras to operate at 40 below zero, they had to use film and load all the film for the day since it was impossible to reload the film outside. And because of the isolation from any film studios, it was necessary to remember each shot to ensure continuity and to make sure that all the necessary sequences were finished. And the main challenge of the film, of course, was the weather, with temperatures averaging between negative 58 and negative 76 degrees. So, you know, the film crew would spend at least 30 minutes putting on 6 layers of clothing. And on some days, they couldn't spend more than 3 hours outside because it was so cold. And sometimes they worked with wind gusts up to 125 miles per hour. Question, what kind of salary would they have to pay you to work on the production crew of the March of the Penguins? That's the question. What kind of salary would you have commanded to work on the production crew of March of the Penguins?
They don't pay black people enough to go out there. I guess.
You ain't got to worry about me going out there.
So nobody will go out there. There's no salary that, you know, you could get, you could command to get you the film out there and anywhere between negative 58 and negative 76 degrees.
I'll hire somebody to go out there. That's about it.
Okay, so nobody would go out there. Okay. Well, during the relatively warm months of the summer, the penguins swim in the cold water and they eat fish. And with the approach of winter in the month of March, they begin a long trek to their breeding ground. At the beginning of the Antarctic summer, the breeding ground is only a tenth of a mile away from the open water where the penguins can feed. However, by the end of summer, the breeding ground is 70 miles away from the nearest open water. Remember that figure tonight, 70 miles. So the journey to parenthood begins with the entire flock of penguins traveling 70 miles to the spot where all of them were born on the South Pole. The spot they pick is crucial because that's where the ice is thickest and strong enough to hold the entire penguin tribe for the months needed for them to procreate. So, fellas, on your journey to parenthood, before you decided to procreate, did you try to make sure that you had a solid foundation underneath you first, financially or otherwise? Yeah, see, I slid that in there because the penguins, you know, they have to procreate on where the ice is thickest and strong enough to hold them. So the question, before you decided to procreate, did you try to make sure that you had a solid foundation underneath you first, financially, otherwise, you know? Did you try to make sure you had a solid foundation? That's the question.
Yeah. I mean, the whole goal, when I said I do, was to make sure that we had a home. We both, you know, we both had jobs and benefits. You know, we wanted to make sure we had a good foundation if we were going to start a family.
Mm-hmm.
And move forward and from engagement to marriage. Yeah, that was my job, man. I had to handle my business. No doubt.
Good words. Anybody else? You try to make sure you had a solid foundation underneath you before you decided to procreate?
I did a little, kind of, Ronnie, but, you know, I was just kind of a surprise, so. You know,
that's real talk.
It's not like we, you know, was trying for it. It just kind of happened, and you know, we just, you know, we worked with what we had. So,
good words, good words. Anybody else? You know, try to make sure you had a solid foundation underneath you first, or you just was it a surprise?
I think I did. I was in the military, when my first child was conceived. So I guess, in a sense, I was trying to secure my foundation by, protecting my flock. In a sense, you know what I mean. Going overseas, you know, protecting my country. You know, kind of make that in the reference of, you know, penguins. You know. Reverting, you know, anything that's going to harm their flock, you know, whether it's, you know, taking a, you know, a predator away from, you know, away from their family or whatever. So I guess in a sense, I think I was, we created the foundation, but at the same time, I had to protect that foundation too.
Good words, good words. And in the penguin tribe, there are actually more male penguins than female penguins. So the females tend to get their pick of the litter. And, you know, it's like a singles mixer, and the penguins waste no amount of effort, you know, searching for the perfect partner. You know, think of it like of an alcohol-free penguin bar scene. And once they find a partner, the penguin pairs stand together making gentle noises to each other. But let's just say for a moment that you were a single penguin. Are you pretty confident that you would be picked by one of the female penguins? Let's say for a moment that you were a single penguin. Are you pretty confident that you would be picked by one of the female penguins?
Without a doubt.
Why so? Why are you so sure, brother?
It is what it is.
What does that mean?
Ain't got no choice but to pick the beast.
But you got to explain that. Why are you so sure that you would get picked by one of the female penguins?
Well, one thing I understand is that women watch what you do. They want a mature man that's going somewhere. They don't really want a deadbeat. But they also want somebody who can be aggressive when needed. So what penguins do is they have to show their aggressiveness, but they also got to show some type of sensitivity too to draw that female around you know, to that.
Mm-hmm. Good words, good words.
Well, I was going to say, I can dance.
You got a happy feet.
Yeah. You young before when you get into the club and, you know, a female looks at you and she know that you can move. She know that you can dance. She's intrigued by how you move because she's not going to do anything but consider that, you know, your movements in a sexual reference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
that's good words.
I mean, all you do is just clear the ice for me. I get it in.
I like it. I like it. Anybody else? Anybody else confident that you will be picked up by one of the female penguins? I guess the rest of y'all must have low self-esteem or something. But when they're building their nest for the egg, the male penguin is actually the one that gets to say how the nest will be built. For example, he'll bring the female rocks, pebbles, sticks, and other things. And research shows, fellas, that female penguins generally mate with male penguins that bring a big stick. Some of y'all will get that tomorrow. That was a joke, fellas. Okay. So you do get picked up.
Thank you for...
Huh? Thank you for clarifying. Yeah, I think they missed it. Okay. So you get picked up by one of the penguin honeys. Okay? You know. So, you know, now... You know, you're thinking, this is what you're thinking. In penguin speak, of course, the mother penguin then lays a single egg, and after much practice, she transfers the egg to you. The father penguin tenderly rolls the egg onto the top of his feet to be incubated by a fold of abdominal skin just above his feet. And the cooperation of both parents is needed if the chick inside the egg is to survive. The transfer must take place within seconds, with minimal exposure to the elements, or the egg will freeze and die. The intense cold will kill the developing embryo. And in the movie, fellas, seeing the eggs lose their battle with the elements is kind of tough to watch. But let me stop there for a moment. Has anybody's wife or girlfriend ever suffered a miscarriage?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I knew I'd be on somebody's glacier with that. You want to? Was that experience tough to deal with, brother?
It was tough to deal with because you don't, you know, the human body itself is still a mystery in a sense. And you really don't know, you know, what your wife is feeling when she's going through that moment. And you try to dwindle down what things it could be. You know, could it be something she ate? Could it be, you know, 24-hour buck? It could be something, you know what I mean? Did she pull a muscle? I mean, it's all kinds of pains that the woman's feel. And you as a man feel hopeless in trying to, you know, take care of her, comfort her, and things like that. And then when you find out that that's exactly what happened, I mean, it's to me, it's one of the most devastating things you can go through. Because any time that you can, you know, you hear the news of conceiving a child, you know, you start planning everything. You start planning the entire life. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, even though, you know, the child was not developed yet, it's still in the sense that that was a person. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things that, you know, it's a rough situation to go through. You get to the point where you don't really argue about it, but you try to figure out, you know, what's the stress? Did you cause the stress? What was it from? What was the cause? Is it going to happen again? You know, what precautionary measures do you need to take so it doesn't happen again? And it's just something that, you know what I mean, you just never know. It's in God's hands. I mean, and after you kind of put that on the plate, you can't really argue with it. You just got to maintain and be there for each other. But it's a hard situation to go through.
The worst, the worst. Anybody else, wife or girlfriend, ever suffered a miscarriage? No one? Okay. Going once, going twice. Yes, not. I thought I'd be on your glacier. Let's say that we had a successful transfer of the newly laid egg. The mother penguin has to now trek the 70 miles to open water to both feed herself and to obtain extra food for feeding her chick when she returns. But just because she laid an egg, should she get first dibs on going to get something to eat, leaving the father penguin holding the egg until she gets back? Is that fair? Do you think that's fair?
Question.
So she's going to get the groceries? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, she's going to. Yeah, I'm talking about the penguins. Stick with the penguins. The penguin, she has to go back to feed herself and to obtain extra food for feeding her chick when she returns. But just because she laid an egg, why does she get first dibs on going to get something to eat? Is that fair?
Because she did. I mean, she did the work, in a sense, you know?
Hmm. Yeah, you're right. And she actually, the female penguin, the mother penguin, actually hasn't eaten in 2 months.
Wow.
And by the time she leaves the hatching area, she will have lost a third of her body weight. And as Chuck said, the mother's body has been so depleted by laying the egg, she'll actually starve if she doesn't leave right away. So he was exactly right. She got to go. You know, she got to go. So, go ahead.
I was going to say the reason why that is a hard question, because you said immediately after the egg is hatched, within seconds, that egg has to be transferred to the father.
Yeah.
Which, you know, whoever, you know, what's the time period for the egg? You know what I mean? What's the incubation time from the time of incubation to hatching time? Like, what's the average time before the quick hatch?
Before the baby's hatch?
Yeah.
It's anywhere from 2 to 4 months.
2 to 4 months. That's a lot of pressure on a brother. Can't play no ball. If you got to eat what she ate, you got to eat what she bring back. Either you don't like it, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just, that's a lot of pressure on a brother. You know what I'm saying? I mean, especially, yeah, she has the egg, but now you want 24-hour duty, bro.
That's right.
4 months.
You're exactly right.
You are a lot down. So, I mean, you know, I understand that, you know, because she's hatched the egg, but then she's like, all right, it's your turn. I'm out. I may not come back for a minute. You got this, and you just standing there looking at your feet.
That's right. You're excited. You got it, man. You sure you ain't seen the movie?
I ain't seen the movie, bro. But you know, when you told me about it, I was on this. I was thinking about this.
So Happy Feet. That's what they did in Happy Feet.
Yeah, I haven't seen Happy Feet.
Oh, man, you got to see that. Happy Feet 2 sucks, but Happy Feet was good.
Yeah, but I mean, in this case, you know, I mean, it's pretty immediate. You know, she lays the egg, and she's like, like the brother said, I'm out. You know, I gotta go. I'm starving. So, the father begins to take care of the egg as the mother returns to sea. And again, father penguins conceal the eggs from the cold under a fold of their skin and balance the precious new life on their claws. So, since the egg hasn't hatched yet, is the male penguin walking around with this egg on the top of his feet kind of similar to a human woman carrying a baby? Or is that not a real good analogy? Is it a close analogy? I mean, is it similar? You know, the father penguin has got the egg on his feet. And is that a similar analogy to a human woman carrying a baby?
Yep.
Yeah, I can see that. I think it almost becomes a
that he's got to be conscious
of not dropping it.
That's right.
You know, I mean, a pregnant woman don't have to be conscious of not dropping it.
Right.
They already dropped it. That's how they got pregnant.
That's good. That's good. But how amazing is it that the egg, only a few inches from the ice, doesn't freeze? One doctor said that the fact that the penguin's feet don't freeze on the ice is a miracle in itself. A few inches from the ice, the egg doesn't freeze. Penguin's feet don't freeze either.
Well, I mean, when it comes down to it, it's all about the miracle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing that nature was so intelligent that they evolved that.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but just to have the male penguin be the one to carry through the incubation period. Like, that's astounding right there. And I didn't even touch on this either, Rob, but think about it, how I said after the female drops the egg, passes to the father, and she's out.
She's out.
You just said earlier that there's more male penguins in the flock of female penguins. Who says she's coming back? She going to take a meal with her girls? I mean, you standing there with the egg, like, you know what I'm saying? With your house shoes on and your house coat, like, what in the heck is this lady?
No, the mother chick does come back.
Oh,
she does come back.
Okay.
Yeah,
she
doesn't, you know, skip off and leave.
Don't they mate for life?
No.
They
don't? We'll get into that. They do not.
Oh.
They do not. Yeah, we'll get into that later. They do not. But, yeah, she does come back to her chick. But, brother, I mean, y'all are getting it now. I see it coming together now. So the father, penguin, begin guarding their eggs from the cold and the predators. The fathers will have to go without food for more than 4 months, roughly 125 days, to ensure survival of their young.
Hey, like some of us could go for that right now.
What, food?
Without food.
Yeah, but like the brother said, I mean, they can't go to get food or eat while simultaneously trying to balance an egg on their toes. I mean, it's just not happening.
Isn't that amazing how evolution figured that out?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're singularly focused on protecting their egg. Now, I know that none of y'all have ever gone 4 months without eating or you wouldn't be on here tonight. But how long do you think you could go without eating to make sure that your children eat? How long do you think you could go without eating to make sure your children eat?
I got a lot of fat to burn off, so I'm good.
Anybody else? I know you couldn't go 4 months. But how long could you go, you know, if circumstances required it? How long could you go without eating to make sure that your children eat?
3 days.
3 days. Good. Anybody else?
I've actually been 5 days without it, only because we were out in the field and I didn't. It's a long period of time, but you learn to overcome. So I'll say at least five.
Were you out in the military?
Yeah.
Has anybody ever skipped one meal for their kid's sake? Just one meal?
Absolutely.
I think we all have. And it is, you know, it may not be a situation where, you know, you only had the resources just for your child to eat, but it's, you know, or it may have been that situation. You know, I don't know. And, you know, the fight against starvation is actually a recurring theme throughout the movie. And for the additional months, you know, the fathers actually have to squeeze together in massive huddles for warmth to incubate their eggs. They're compressed against each other, and they actually take turns being in the middle where it's the warmest and being on the outside where it's the coldest. And all the while, they've got this egg on their toes, and they're shuffling on along the ice.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Careful not to lose the egg that is so delicately balancing on their toes. Now, the fathers endure raging Antarctic storms with temperatures approaching 80 below zero, and their only source of water is the snowfall. But the good news is that penguins actually have the ability to recycle their own body heat. Father penguins spend more than 2 months nurturing their unhatched eggs. And, you know, as we mentioned before, the penguin chicks are born while the mothers are still away. So the fathers are actually responsible for the chicks' first feeding. And that's nourishment in the form of a very small amount of a milky, protein-rich substance that the fathers regurgitate in their mouths. Now, fellas, this is despite the fact that they haven't eaten in over 4 months. So they regurgitate first feeding, milky, protein-rich substance, you know, to feed the chick, because mama is, she ain't back yet. So here's the question. What exactly do you hold in your mouth for your children? Is what comes out of your mouth towards your children bitterness and contempt? Or is it sustaining nutrients like encouragement, appreciation, and forgiveness? What do you hold in your mouth for your children? Have you ever thought about it?
I think reassurance.
Yeah.
I say reassurance because of things that are going on in the schools today, and kids be, you know, so quick to want to be a part of a certain type of group and the acknowledgement of other children. I think it's reassurance that no matter what goes on in the school, you know, your dad is your best friend. I'm going to love you regardless of anything that's happened. You know what I mean? The type of person that you are, you know, the type of friends that you hang out with, you know what I mean? If you're smarter than the next child. And I mean, I'm going through it right now. I'm going through it right now, you know. And I think it's just because, you know, my child is smart and intelligent. She's beautiful. And I believe the other, you know, child that is, quote unquote, bullying her thinks that too, but she doesn't know how to be her friend. So the only thing she does is kind of ridicule everything about her, whether it comes down to her hair or, you know, trying to make her other friends go against her. I just make sure that, you know what I mean, that at the end of the day, you come home to somebody who loves everything about you.
Anybody else? I heard somebody else want to get in on that. What exactly do you hold in your mouth for your children?
Well, Rod, I can say this. I mean, I probably have the youngest child out of the group. I mean, my son actually just turned 3 months today, so.
Oh, congrats, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. So right now I know that is, you know, not much of anything that he really comprehends, so. You know, I've already learned to, you know, speak encouraging words to him already and, you know, and read to him and, you know, just, you know, showing him, you know, me loving his mother around him, you know, kissing her, hugging her and things like that. You know, and I'm, so it's kind of a, you know, a challenge to myself to remember to keep doing that the older he gets so he'll, you know how to respect the woman and, you know, and know, you know, what love is, to be able to show it, you know, once he gets to an age where, you know, he, you know, becomes interested in women. So, I mean, I'm just basically learning, you know, from things, basically things that I saw growing up not to do. So I'm kind of doing the opposite of that now, which, you know, I thank God that, you know, he did allow me to wait till I was 35 to have my first kid because I'm a little more mature. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of know exactly, you know, what to do in order to show him by seeing what I shouldn't have done, if that makes any sense.
So, yeah, it makes perfect sense. What, I mean, what kind of things came out of your father's mouth, you know, towards you? I know my father used to call me a mama's boy, and it was not a compliment.
Well, I mean, you know, my dad really never really said anything. I mean, he was a very strict disciplinarian,
right?
You know, in the house. And, you know, I'll clear one thing up. Me and him have a wonderful relationship now, you know, and he's, you know, asked me for forgiveness for a lot, you know, of stuff that he did. But it was more so the things that I saw him do, you know, which, and I'm speaking of my stepfather, but it's more so the things I saw him do, you know, as far as the marriage is concerned and, you know, respect for my mother. So he really didn't do, you know, anything to me besides, you know, now he would tear me up when I was wrong, you know, but it was more so the things I saw him do, you know, or didn't do as related to his duties as a husband. He was always a wonderful provider. But, you know, as far as, you know, just certain things that I saw him do, I don't want to go into detail, but, you know, that I knew, hey, this is, you know, this isn't right. You know, this is something, you know, my mom shouldn't be crying right now. You know what I mean? So it was things like that that I learned, and I said, okay, this, maybe I shouldn't do that. You know, when I
did the opposite.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Good words. Anybody else? What about your father or your father figure in your life? What kind of things came out of his mouth towards you? The floor is open, fellas.
Well, I always heard, you know, from my parents that, you know, I could do anything. And as long as I was willing to work, you know, I could accomplish anything. I was crazy enough to believe them.
And it paid off. I mean, you did the work and you put in the work and, you know, you're successful, right? I mean, you reap the rewards.
Yeah, I was taught by my dad that, you know, there's no such thing as a gift. You know, you got to go and get it, and nobody's going to give you anything. And I got to fight. So, you know, that's the way I believe it, and that's what it is.
And you know something? You know something that's real, though, Rodney, to think about it and to kind of put it in words. You know me on a personal level. You know me all my life.
Yeah.
Kind of know the situations I've been through. And I honestly can say what I learned from my father, not knowing my father, is what not to do as a father. I mean, just the action itself, when no words being spoken, nothing being said. But just know that the kind of life that I had growing up as a child, you know, having a stepfather and the abuse of a stepfather, just knowing how to be a father.
Right. I agree. Words. Anybody else? Your father? He give you the kind words or the, you know, bitter word. I mean, what kind of things? How did your father communicate with you? Or did he not communicate with you?
I can speak on that, Ronnie. I know growing up in my household, you know, as far as my father was concerned, it's funny because my wife and I'm 36 now, and I'm just now about to get my bachelor's. So, you know, my college or going to college in my house was never mentioned, ever. You know, in my house it was, you know, you graduate from high school, you know, you work. I've never taken the SAT. And because it was not, you know, and you know, I look at my wife, and it was a big thing in our house. You know, you go to school. I mean, she has the master's now, and, you know, she was the one that motivated me, you know, to go, you know, and, you know, get your degree. But it was never mentioned in my house, you know, and it would, you know, they basically, and I'm not downing my parents because, you know, But, you know, it was never, you know, go achieve your goals. And it was never that. It was, you know, you get your butt up and you work. If you don't work, get out of my house. And that was it. So, I grew up a long time with that mentality, and, you know, until I met my wife. And she was like, no, and, you know, in order to get through these doors, you want to do this, you're going to do that. You know, you need to get an education. And, it's because of her, and I thank God for that, you know, that I learned that from her. But, you know, in my house, it was really no, you know, encouraging words. Not to say that there were discouraging words either. But it was, you know, I was never told, you know, go for your dreams. You know, I was never told that. It was, you know, you go up and you go to work every day, you know, be a man. That was
man up.
Yeah, that was it. Because, you know, and I look at my pops now. You know, he retired early. You know, he had the same job since, you know, he was like 18. You know, and he's, you know, by American standards, you know, he's kind of living his dream now. They travel a lot, you know. And I think he only had like a 7th grade education.
Wow.
So probably why they never said, you know, go to college and blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, like I said, you only teach what you know. So.
Right. That's good words. Good words. Thanks for sharing, brother. So, let's continue. Moving on. When the mother penguin returns, because she does return, I know y'all wondering about that. She don't leave the father out, you know, holding the egg, holding the bag, if you will. But she'll find her mate by using her vocal signature. And the two can recognize each other amongst thousands of penguins in the same area through mating songs. And by the time she returns, the fathers have lost half their body weight. Now, while the father is able to regurgitate the milky substance that can keep the chick alive for 1 or 2 days, if the mother is late or doesn't make it back at all, the father will have to abandon the chick and return to the sea to feed himself, or else he'll starve to death. Now, we just talked about when a parent dies last week. Patrice had a topic last week. And many penguin mothers do actually die on the return trip due to exhaustion or they're killed by predators. But let's just say that the penguin mother does make it back. After many successful feeding dives, the mother penguin has built up enough fat and filled her stomach with food. She has to return to her newborn within days of the chick being born, or her baby will die. Because that little milky substance that the fathers regurgitate, that's, you know, that ain't much. That's just to tide them over until mama come back. Once the mothers arrive to feed and rear their children, the fathers then trek back the 70 miles to where they can get something to eat.
Mm.
And this gives the mother penguins time to feed their young and bond with them. Now, the child must be transferred. Listen, the child must be transferred from the father to the mother, and they must use just as much care in transferring the newborn chick as they did with the egg. Or the chick could also freeze and die. Now, the mothers will bear the long fast as their mates take their turn to recuperate. But before leaving, the father penguin and the chick, they sing or they speak to each other, making sure to familiarize themselves with one another's voices. You know, as Chuck said, he got a three-month-old. He's reading to him. He's talking to him, giving him encouraging words at 3 months old. That's crazy. I don't remember doing that with either one of my, I mean, I talked to him, read to him, but I ain't give him no encouraging words. You know, that's some deep stuff. But the father and the chick, they sing or they speak to each other, making sure they familiarize themselves with each other's voices. The only goal for the new penguin parents is to keep the baby chick alive. The egg and the resulting chick needs the undivided attention of the parents for the entire next year. Here's a question, fellas. Many of the younger penguin couples fail at one of the many delicate stages of this meticulous process. Why do y'all think that is? Why do y'all think many younger penguin couples fail at this, you know, the process, whether it be the transfer of the egg or the transfer of the newborn chick, or, you know, why do you think younger penguin couples fail at one of the steps there?
It would have to be inexperience or lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
How about lack of discipline?
Mm. Wow. Mm.
Yep. Takes a lot of discipline to go through that.
Yeah. You're exactly right. Because the couples, I mean, they must work in perfect harmony to successfully rear this chick. And
yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, yeah, I mean, down to like the last day. You know what I mean? It's got to be calculated.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rodney, maybe they couldn't overcome their environment or their surroundings. What if it was a big storm and the mother penguin just wasn't able to get through it?
Yeah, you're right. That happens. Yeah, because the elements, as I said in the beginning, fellas, Antarctica, the darkest, coldest, windiest, driest place on Earth. Everybody ain't going to make it. All the penguins ain't going to make it, unfortunately. And again, fellas, it's quite devastating to watch a penguin couple fail to keep their egg warm. Because once they lose it, their chance at procreating is over. Until the next migration. That's it. Egg die, that's it. I mean, they got to wait until the next, you know, March of the Penguins, you know, next year. And unfortunately, like the brother said, unfortunately, sometimes fierce storms arrive and some of the newborn chicks die from the cold, you know, because they get too far, you know, away from their mother. And when a mother penguin loses its chick in a storm, it sometimes tries to steal another mother's chick. But the other penguins band together to stop the would-be chick napper. But, you know, as T-Hawk said, I mean, it takes a lot of discipline. And the mother and father penguins, they take turns. Listen, they take turns looking after a single offspring. But let's just say that the penguins are a married couple. How would y'all feel about this taking turns looking after your child and raising it alone, even though, you know, you and your wife are married? How would you feel about that? Taking turns. You know, she go, I go. I mean, how would y'all feel about that? You're married, but you're taking turns looking after and raising the child. Would y'all embrace that?
You kind of do that anyway, don't you?
How so?
I mean, you know, like when I come home from work and, you know, wife has been all day with the baby, you know, it's kind of like, you know, my shift. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Trade-off. Yeah, you know, you walking through the door and she, you know, the baby, like, in your arms. You're like, can I put my stuff down? You know, can I get cleaned up a little bit? Can I change my clothes? No. Your shift. Your turn, buddy. Yeah, but anybody else? I mean, you're a married couple, but taking turns raising the youngest. How do y'all feel about that?
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Well, let me flip it up a little bit. 2 weeks ago, we discussed the topic, an invitation to divorce court. I'm on your glacier. Has anybody ever been divorced? Anybody on here ever been divorced? Should be a chorus of, you know, penguins saying yes, yes.
Yeah, yes.
To the brothers that have been divorced, were there times, either when you were separated or after your divorce, when you took turns raising the kids, you know, maybe it was weekends, summer vacations, spring break, were there ever times when, you know, during your separation after the divorce where you, you know, you took turns raising the kids?
Yep.
And fellas, how did that work out? You know, was that good or bad, or, you know, how did that work out, taking turns, like, all right, you got a summer break, you know, or spring break, I mean, how did that work out?
It was very difficult because the rules, you know, were so different from my house to theirs. I was the custodial parent, so when they went to their mother, no rules, and they could do what they wanted, and we always had to have attitude adjustment seminars when they got back.
I think somebody can relate to that, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else that deal with the, you know, during the separation, during the divorce, you know, you taking turns raising the kids, you want to, you know, how did that work out? How did it work out?
I think if you're both on the same page and communication is good, you don't step on each other's toes, and you remember that there's still the task at hand of raising the children, I think it'll work out okay as long as you're divorced. May not work out in the marriage, but as long as you're divorced and you got that communication going, I think it'll be all right.
Good words, good words. Anybody else? Taking turns raising the kids? And in one scene, fellas, the camera watches as one penguin couple literally fumbled their egg transfer. And you know what happened. The egg froze and died. Question. In your marriage or after your divorce, has anybody ever fumbled the transfer of one of your children? And what I mean by that is that, you know, you're both standing in the house or, you know, maybe you're divorced, and you're like, I thought you were supposed to pick her up. She's still at the daycare or somebody. Has anybody ever fumbled the transfer of one of your children? Is it only me? It can't be.
Yeah, that happened to me.
What happened? Speak on it, brother. Speak on it.
Just going through, after being divorced, having a teenage daughter, and you know, there's that time between the weekends where you have visitation, and I guess transfer is a good word. Transfer from one parent to the other, communication gets crossed. Daughter has a different agenda, and then we'll come up missing for a couple hours. And, you know, I'm expecting her to be with the mom, and then the mom's expecting her to be with me. So there's a time where somebody dropped the ball, you know, and so my daughter got good at it. She started to work that window, you know, and started hanging out, doing things with her friends or whatever the case may be. But there was definitely, you know, miscommunication. And after divorce, you got to be very careful because people want to go and start their life again. So then they may start dating, yada yada yada. They don't want the responsibility of a teenager while they're trying to move on. And that's kind of what I was going through with the mom. She was trying to get her life back together, get something going on in the relationship category. And then my daughter got kind of caught in the middle. So in that respect, yes, something went very wrong with the transfer of that.
That's good words. But let me tell y'all about the tragic story of Miles Harrison. In July of 2008, Miles Harrison killed his 21-month-old son, Chase. Now, let me explain how this happened. Little Chase was saved from a Russian orphanage by Mr. Harrison and his wife. And they actually had to make three difficult trips overseas just to gain custody of the developmentally delayed boy. One morning in July, Mr. Harrison dressed Chase in a T-shirt and shorts, put sunscreen on him, and strapped him in the car seat in the back of his GMC Yukon. Mr. Harrison stopped briefly at the dry cleaner, then proceeded to drive Chase to his daycare. During the trip to daycare, Mr. Harrison made or received over 13 phone calls. He was so focused on a large project at work while also having some issues with his employees that he actually ended up driving past the exit for Chase's daycare. Mr. Harrison arrived at work 7:30 sharp and went into his office, leaving Chase in the backseat of his Yukon on a 90-degree day. Co-workers spotted the lifeless boy at around 5 p.m. Chase had died of a heat stroke. Now, Mr. Harrison's lawyer argued that the father demonstrated negligence, but that this was an accident, an oversight, a mistake. A county judge eventually acquitted Mr. Harrison of involuntary manslaughter for fumbling the transfer of his child. What do y'all think about this story?
Definitely sad.
Mm-hmm. And it's real. And what happened, what I didn't explain, is that normally Mr. Harrison's wife takes the child to daycare. So this was not in the routine, but she had something to do. Mm-hmm. And you take it? Yeah, I can take it. I can go past there.
This
got caught up in the work stuff. Yes, sir, go ahead.
I said, this happens all the time.
You're right. It does. But can leaving a child unattended for a full day in a hot car be chalked up as simply an accident?
Nah, man, nah. No. No. You can't be that preoccupied with anything. I'm sorry.
I think it can be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That just showed a lot of leniency.
That's negligent homicide to me.
That's exactly what it is.
You know, I mean, we can always say, oh, yeah, you know, I put my one-year-old in the tub and got busy doing something else and forgot they were in there. That's not my fault. Well, whose fault is it?
Exactly. You're the adult.
That's right. You know, I mean, we can always claim that. You know, now, and it's not murder. That's premeditated, but that's negligent homicide.
Yeah,
you are in charge of that child. That's like you saying, "Oh, I forgot. I let him play out in the middle of 301. It's not my fault. I forgot. Well, that doesn't fly."
But don't we parents make mistakes?
Hey,
yes.
You know, hey, I'm not saying that's what negligent homicide is—a mistake that caused somebody's death. That's the definition of it.
Yep.
It's not premeditated. You weren't trying to kill somebody, but your actions or lack of actions caused somebody's death. That's the definition of it.
So essentially forgetting about the existence of the life that you've been entrusted with protecting and cherishing.
Got that right.
People do that with their marriages all the time.
Come
on, let's get started. I know we're talking about penguins, but people do that with their marriage all the time. Preoccupied with something else.
And I'm going to tell you.
Marriage dies. Boom. Mm. Sitting in front of a judge talking about why I got to pay half. I was busy at work. Why I got to pay half? It's not my fault. I was preoccupied.
People get married and then act like they ain't got to work on it. They do all this work to catch her.
That's right.
And he's like, okay, I got other things to do.
That's right. Like missing the exit.
Right.
Mm. You know what I mean? Not checking the back seat.
But you my wife now, I ain't got to worry about it.
Getting close.
Well, let's get there then.
Yeah, we're getting there. I want to get back on track and talk a little bit about monogamy, and Andrew actually brought this up a little bit earlier, but the Penguins do practice monogamy, but not for life. It's only within each breeding season. So Penguins don't bother about institutions like marriage, and they generally choose new mates each year. So, you know, what do y'all think about this? Each year, they find a new penguin to procreate with. And listen to this. So, other than getting some new booty, is this a good thing?
I know some dudes like that.
Each year finding a new partner to procreate with, Andrew?
That's right. They got 5 different baby mamas.
Listen, that's too much drama for 18 years for each kid, man. That's too much drama.
Then there's Tiger Woods.
That's too much drama, man. You can't handle it. If all 5 of them in penguin life, if all 5 of the women had to go get something to eat, you got 2 kids by each 5 women, 5 penguins. You got 10 kids, and you got to regurgitate and not eat for 4 months or whatever.
He's getting it. He's getting it.
Come on, man. Ain't no way. You can't have it.
Well, little boy.
So, fellas, who comes out looking the worst in all of this, you know, with the choosing new mates each year? The male penguins or the female penguins? Who looks the worst?
They're both choosing new mates each year.
Is that what you said? Yeah, they both? Yeah.
Nobody's looking the worst.
That's right. She ain't nothing but a hoe.
So you say they both equally look bad?
No. I'm not saying either one looks bad. That's the norm. They know it's a see you later. Time to roll out and do something different.
So let me ask you this, T-Hawk. This is kind of a difficult question. Do you think that the female penguins love their one-time mate? Or do you think that they feel like, do you think they just feel like that's my baby daddy?
Business as usual is how they feel.
Next.
That's how it works.
I mean, but they understand the game. I mean, you know, don't hate the player.
That's just how it is.
That's how it is.
Now, the narrator repeatedly talks about the mother, father, and the baby chick as a family, but they don't really spend that much time together. Over the course of months, they'll stay together, then separate, then reunite, and bring forth new life. So is it really accurate to refer to them as a family?
Sounds like a lot of relationships I know about.
Uh-oh. Humans like penguins? Is that what you're saying?
Sounds about right.
I would think that this type of arrangement, I mean, it would require a lot of trust and patience and perseverance. I mean, really. The way this is set up. I mean, you know, unlike many nature documentaries that try to give animals human characteristics, you know, this one actually embraces the penguins for exactly who they are. And, you know, one father's group has actually taken the penguin as its symbol of fatherly dedication and a shared parenting model after divorce. So would y'all say that the penguin might be a good symbol for us head of households to use? You know, that's whether we're married or divorced. Is the penguin a good symbol for us?
Nah.
Why not, sir?
No longevity in a relationship.
Hmm. Anybody else want to agree or disagree with that? The penguin a good symbol for us to use? Well, in the movie, you know, the male and female penguins, they trade gender roles with relatively seamless ease in an attempt to guarantee the survival of the species. But are penguin families so different from our human families? I mean, isn't the purpose of your family to rear a new generation of your kind? I mean, are you willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that your family survives? That's safe to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the mother and father's trade roles as primary nurturers until the chicks are old enough to fend for themselves. Then and only then does the family disperse. But does anybody here think that there's discourse among the penguin tribe that suggests that the male penguins are less of a penguin by swapping the gender roles? Do you think they're less of a male penguin by taking on some of the quote-unquote motherly or wifely roles?
Nope. No, I mean, it's what they're accustomed to doing.
Mm. Wow. That's a profound statement right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's what they're used to.
Mm-hmm. Well, fellas, I've got some potentially bad news for y'all. There was a recent study that was released that tested 600 men before and after becoming fathers. And the study found that testosterone actually takes a nosedive after a man becomes a parent. And the more a father gets involved in caring for his children, the lower his testosterone drops. How do y'all feel about that? Does that bother you?
Say that again.
The study found that testosterone actually takes a nosedive after a man becomes a parent. And the more a father gets involved in caring for his children, the lower his testosterone drops. How do y'all feel about that?
I don't know if that's a good thing.
Why not? Why not?
Because you don't know it at the time. You still think you're okay.
You just think you're tired to get some nookie.
Yeah.
I mean, do y'all think that we've been brainwashed to believe that lower testosterone levels mean that you're a wimp or that you're less of a man?
No, I don't think so.
I guess you have to define the definition of a man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if a man is just about hit and run, well, you know, then yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if a real man isn't about hit and run, then it doesn't much matter.
I don't think testosterone just has to do with hit and run. Testosterone has to do with aggression altogether, you know, and I guess being brawny or, you know, strong and, you know, protective altogether. So, you know, I don't think it just has to do with having sex. So, to a certain extent, I think you want to keep that as controlled but high, you know, despite, you know, the fact that, you know, you're going to become more nurturing when you have children. But, you know, it's one of those things that you got to work to keep, you know what I mean, like staying active in maybe competitive sports or going to the gym. So I think the study is probably more so along those lines.
Yeah, kind of, you know, it's the man's body's way of saying that he's invested in the marriage. you know, that I'm here and I'm not looking for anybody else.
Mm. I mean, if you look at it, sometimes you do have to find energy and the will to play with kids and do those activities with them after everything else you have to do.
Mm-hmm. And does the information from this study encourage you to take a more inactive role as a father, or does it even matter what happens with your testosterone when you're, you know, caring for your own kids?
I don't think it matters.
I mean, it's not, we need to put out a PSA. Oh, my God, don't take care of your kids because your testosterone will drop way down. You know, it's like, who cares? I mean, and in the study, as the brother was mentioning, you know, having a higher testosterone level to start with actually predicted that men are more likely to become fathers.
Mm.
Possibly because men with higher testosterone are more assertive in competing for women, or they appeared healthier and more attractive to women. But regardless of the initial testosterone level, after having children, the hormone plummets, bottom line. Scientists say that this suggests a biological trade-off, suggesting that a father with lower testosterone is a little more sensitive to cues from his child and maybe a little less sensitive to cues from that flirty, attractive coworker.
Mm-hmm.
And the testosterone was measured when the men were 21 and single, and again in 5 years. And although testosterone naturally decreases with age, men who become fathers show much greater declines, more than double that of childless men. Mm-hmm.
Are you telling us this now?
Yeah, wait. Just let me finish, bro. You know, let me finish, you know. And listen, you know, the study said that men who spent more than 3 hours a day caring for their children, and that includes playing, feeding, bathing, toileting, reading to them, dressing them, giving them encouraging words, whatever it is you do, they have the lowest testosterone.
Now, does that include going to baby showers?
Probably so.
Now you know where it came from.
Mm.
I like that. And they lost it all.
But listen, Andrew, another study showed that testosterone climbed back up after a man was divorced. Now, why do y'all think that is?
The woman is unmanning them.
Sound like
shit, so he get his man card back? Is that what you're saying?
But it is.
I mean, it's intuitive to me. I mean, just think about it. It's common sense. More time you spend, you know, nonstop around a woman, you know, you empathize a lot with her feelings, start to relate to her a little more, and then, you know, kids come around, so that's more energy and sensitivity that you have to exhort towards them. So, I mean, you're spending less time doing things that you would have done before, you know, that raise your testosterone, like, you know, arguing or playing ball with your boys and, you know, stuff like that.
Instead of going to baby showers.
Well, listen, as I close this segment on testosterone, did y'all know that just as higher estrogen exposure increases the risk for breast cancer in women, higher lifetime testosterone levels actually increases your risk of prostate cancer? Which means, let me translate, so being an active father can potentially decrease your risk for prostate cancer. Yeah, exactly. And researchers also found that testosterone levels didn't change before and after a play session with children. But a lot of questions remain. You know, one question that remains is, does testosterone, which declines, you know, steeply in fathers during their first, you know, child's first month, does it rebound as children become older and less dependent? They ain't get into all that.
That's when you have more kids.
Right. And, you know, the bottom line, fellas, is that the lowering of your testosterone doesn't prevent you from having more children, because you don't need a lot of testosterone to have libido. So we're not talking about changes that are going to take testosterone outside the range of having, you know, deep voices or hairy chests. You know, we're just talking about the more subtle effects of testosterone levels. But I want to switch gears and go back to something that T-Hawk said. And much of our lives have been defined by the grind. And sometimes we can't always be the nurturing father that we want to be. But as anybody's child, ever mention or wish that you had a quote-unquote regular job instead of being on the grind? And a regular job meaning that you would have more time to spend with them. Has anybody's child ever, you ever heard your child say that, you know, or somebody you know, the child say, hey, man, wish my dad had a regular job. Have you ever heard that? Maybe you yourself or a friend or somebody you know. Has anybody ever heard that? No?
I guess everybody's got a regular job.
You know, I don't really look at things that way because whatever, you know, your situation is, that's your normal.
Yeah.
Right. You're not looking at other people's parents and seeing how they work and all. I wasn't. I mean, where I grew up, I didn't know anything, but that was my normal.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, mortgages, car payments, daycare, tuition, summer camp. I mean, all of that stuff are real things that require real finances. I mean, really.
But most kids don't understand those kind of things, and they don't equate that kind of thing.
But regarding the Penguins, if you had to endure extremes to protect the life of your child, are you certain that you would? And the Penguins' march is actually blinded by blizzards and gale force winds. So if I told you that you had to stand still for days in freezing weather and rub up against 50 other dudes to keep the kid warm, would you do it? Like the Penguins do? Would you do it?
Depends on how cute the dude is.
Depends on how cute the dude is.
I mean, yeah, you got to do what you got to do, man. You know, if it's for your kids, they should be first. You know, you got to put away all your, you know, pride or whatever. You know, because I feel like if you're not willing to go to that extreme, you know, then you're not fit to be a father anyway.
Period. Good words. I mean, we all do it in our own way. We do it.
I think that most of us on this call would actually die out there freezing trying to keep our kids warm.
Yeah.
What percentage of doubt. Men? Go ahead, Patrice.
I was saying, without a doubt, I was just going to co-sign him. And, you know, they're your kids. They're your seed. I mean, you're there to protect them. You can't put yourself in front of your kids.
You're not going to say, I'm going in to get warm. You stay out there and freeze.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the protective in the male species anyway. It's supposed to protect your family first. So no doubt about freeze. I mean, we talked about it last week, you know, that you prepare yourself for your family to live without you. So. One of those things is making sure that they can eat, that they got clothes on their back, that they can go to school if you're not there. They can live in the same house if you're not there. So,
what would you say the percentage of men that really think that way, Therese?
To be honest with you, it's very low. It should be higher.
I mean, what would you say, though, on a scale from 1 to 100?
Yeah, what percentage of men do you think will pursue extreme measures to nurture their children, even to the point, you know, of just taking on these roles that the Penguins do? What percentage of men? 1 to 100.
Right now, 25% of the men are doing that right now.
25?
That's probably right. He said 25, yeah. That's probably about right.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, it's a low number, but, I mean, you think of all the men who aren't paying the child support, who leave the, who leaves the nest because he's mad because she got pregnant again. You know, he puts the blame on her, but he forgot that he won that released the sperm in her.
Yeah. And child support, I mean, you could think about that the same way. Child support. How do you not pay child support? How do you not financially take care of your child? And I'm pretty sure that everybody on this call knows at least 2 to 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
They got every excuse in the world why not to do it. The mama won't talk to me. The mama's mad at me. We don't get along. So I ain't going to pay my child support.
Yeah.
You know, so it's easy for us on this call, and that's probably why we're on here, because we want to get better and stay better. But there's a lot that just can't get right and don't know. You know, having that kid was just a recreational activity.
I'm going to pay you that child support. You're going to go out and spend it on your next dude.
Exactly. You're going to go to the mall and go shopping. So let's just play Russian roulette with the kid's nutrition. You know what I mean?
Give me receipts every time you go to McDonald's.
Let me, 10:30, I want to break this thing down a little bit further. And I've been, actually, need to reveal something, give you a little bit extra. The interesting thing about these type of penguins is that they're actually called emperor penguins. And the emperor penguin is actually the tallest and heaviest of all living penguin species. Now, my dictionary tells me that the definition of emperor is a sovereign ruler of great power and rank, especially one ruling an empire. And emperors are generally recognized to be of higher honor and rank than kings. So here's the question. We talk about those 75% of men that maybe not be on here tonight. They're irresponsible and inconsistent is because they don't realize that they're an emperor. And I'm not talking about being haughty or prideful, simply being the emperor that God created us to be. Is that possible?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't think so.
I mean, I think that is, if not one of, if not the biggest issue with, you know, with any issue like that, is because, you know, a person does not know their worth, or
mm-hmm.
they don't know their place, or, you know, they don't realize, you know, it's a self-esteem issue. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's the root of a lot of problems that people just don't realize. So yeah, I would agree with what you said wholeheartedly.
I mean, even looking back at your father, a father figure. You know, maybe he was inconsistent because he thought of himself as a prince. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, but that's what I'm talking about, that whole self-worth, you know, that you were created, you know, you have value. And on the flip side, Phil, on the flip side of the emperor, empress is the female equivalent and indicates an emperor's wife or a woman who rules in her own right. Does your wife even realize that as the emperor's wife that she's considered to be an empress? I hope she does. I hope she does. But getting back on track, is this movie a good depiction of how parenting should be? Is this movie a good depiction of how parenting should be? That's the bottom line. Is this movie a good depiction of how parenting should be?
I mean, from what you've said, I would say certain aspects of it, yeah.
Yeah,
I haven't seen the movie, so I can't.
Me neither.
You know, I can't make that call.
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie either. The part that I don't like is the short-term obligation to the partner. Not saying that I don't like it, but as far as it relates to parenting, I think that parenting consists of two parents throughout, not one for a short period of time and then the other one continues or however they do it.
Do you think that in America today, do y'all think there's more good parenting going on or more bad parenting going on out here? As humans, do you think there's more good parenting or bad parenting going on in America today?
I think there's more bad parenting.
Yeah. But I agree, but I think it's more bad parenting due to ignorance.
Yes, because... Yeah. What we have found is most people don't have a clue how to be a husband, a wife, a father, and a mother, and most people don't even seek the information.
Right. Exactly.
But the question is, but do they show up? Do they show up to at least attempt to do the job?
I think most do. Well, I don't know. Well, the statistic I read is, you know, 50% of children today are born into, you know, single-parent households. So I don't know what the number is, but it's definitely not the way it should be.
Yeah.
Do y'all think that the penguins have set the bar much higher than us mere humans can reach when it comes to dedication to their offspring? Did the penguins set the bar too high?
No. I mean, it's still relative to what we do. You know, granted, it's not out in the freezing cold, but sometimes it is. Some people get up at the crack of dawn, go make minimum wage or whatever it is, go work another job, come home, cook, do some homework, turn around, and do the same thing again every day for their kids. You know, so, you know, that's how they do it in the North Pole. We do it here differently. But I think it's all relative. If you show up for the job and you stay committed and raise that kid to the best of your ability, you know, I think that it's all relative to what the penguins do. But I think that, again, we're one up on the penguins because we're going to hang in there for the duration and see it through.
So you don't envy the penguin fathers even a little bit?
No. It's not saying that I don't envy them at all. You know what I'm saying? But I could also envy, you know, you, for what you do with your kids. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to envy the pink one because he's got to stand out in the cold and do all these, you know, just huddling with the other penguins and keep saying, whatever it is that they do, that's the card that they're dealt.
Yeah, I think there's something funny going on with that huddling.
Remember, they got an egg on there, you know. They got an egg on there, on their toes.
Yeah.
You don't know they got an egg.
Not all of them got an egg, right, because they didn't get picked.
Just wanted to get close up on you.
But do you think some of our experience as parents contain conditions as punishing and perilous as the brutal ice and cold of the Antarctic? Do some of our experiences as parents contain conditions as punishing and perilous as the ice and cold of the Antarctic?
Did you meet my ex-wife or something?
Ha! On your glacier. Talk about it, Andrew. Talk about it, brother.
I'll tell you what, you
punishing.
Know, it says that, you know, you better live on a glacier than with a this woman.
Oh, man. I knew I'd be on somebody's glacier with that, but what if all human couples did at least as well by their offspring as these penguins do? What if all human couples did at least as well as these penguins do when it comes to raising their offspring?
Hold on. What you talk about? I mean, what do you mean by raising? I mean, nowadays it means different things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and again, please forgive me for not remembering this. Which penguin actually finishes the job when the other one goes to meet another penguin. Finishes the job of raising that chick.
Well, they still tag team. You know, it's still a tag team until the chick is old enough to go on his own. So.
Okay, so they tag team. Now, when do they go out and find the next one? Once the chick is old enough to go on his own?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so their whole life is dedicated to raising this chick until they can go off on their own. Yeah,
gotcha,
right.
gotcha. And that's when they go and find another chick, find another penguin and do it all over again.
That's right. That's right. You got it, T.O. And you ain't even seen the movie.
I mean, my thing is with the penguin, I don't envy what's going on, people. I know it ain't been around
up,
long,
brother?
But I'm just saying.
But, welcome back.
But I don't envy penguins at all either, because it's the same. There's nothing added or taken away from what they do. They all know the same dangers. I mean, they're built for the cold, so. You know, technically they're not cold. You're just in a cold environment. To us, it's cold. But to them, they say they swim in that. They swim in negative temperature ocean water. You know what I'm saying? So they're built for that. But it's the same status quo when it comes to raising that egg or protecting that egg. It's the same thing. It's the same dangers. Nothing changes. Nothing changes about their people. It's the same thing. Now, on the human side of things, man, things go haywire. None of us men that sit on this conversation right now has gone through the exact same thing with different situations. Everybody has a degree of difference or a degree of stress level. A lot of people ain't built for what, you know, one of y'all have went through or endured in a marriage or endured with children or multiple children or, you know, nuclear families or whatever the case may be. Everybody ain't built for the same thing. So I don't hear any penguins at all. It's the same thing over and over again. Nothing changes.
Good words.
Yeah.
Well said.
And I think the thing that humans have to deal with that penguins don't, in a sense, is emotions.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? You know, penguins, you know, penguins ain't got to deal with the woman, you know, mouthing off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty different. You know?
Oh, man, y'all are getting it. Y'all are getting it. But I know.
I understand as far as the dedication each individual parent or couple of the penguins take or got to, you know, not even necessarily deal with. It's a part of them to deal with. And that's where I say that as a human race, we have failed miserably. Just because you have a, you know, your child has a house over their head and clothes on their back and Jordans on their feet, that don't mean you're raising your kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you have to teach them right and wrong. You have to instill morals and strength and this, that, and the third, because when they out there alone, and I've seen it many times over, my man, many times over, these kids get out here and get bugged wild because they have no discipline, none whatsoever. There's so many temptations out there. I'm not just talking about sexual or anything like that. With anything you can be tempted by that would lead you astray.
Yeah, and I know everybody on here has seen the movie Precious, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now we're getting somewhere. I got some. Yeah. Now we're getting somewhere there. I know y'all ain't seen March of the Penguins, but you've seen Precious. Now, March of the Penguins illustrates the precision and wisdom of instinct and nature attuned to their environment, as the brother said. But instead of the dedicated protection by parents, the penguins model, the parents of Precious perpetuate a relentless and predatory cycle of abuse. As y'all know, Precious' father impregnates her twice at the age of 12 and 16. And Precious's mother, threatened by, you know, the father's attention towards Precious, she preys on Precious as well. So, how does the movie Precious serve as a vivid reminder that the capacity to conceive isn't always accompanied by the instinct to nurture. That was deep. I'm gonna have to read that question again. I think y'all.
You might have answered your own question though.
Go ahead. Tell me how.
No. Go ahead. Say the question again.
I'll read the question again. How does the movie Precious serve as a reminder that the capacity to conceive isn't always accompanied by the instinct to nurture?
It's exactly what you just said. It's exactly what you just said. It is a reminder.
Yeah, because for Precious, her mother and father, they choose nothing of parenthood.
Exactly.
No. So.
She was a sexual object, and she was a welfare check. Period.
Wow.
Say that again?
That's wow.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of children that are welfare checks. Women just have more babies so they can get more money.
Thank you. Right. And if you ask the people that are doing that, they'll never tell you the raw truth behind or why they do that or why certain women do that, I'll say. But, you know what I'm saying, if you ask them where did they get the money from, they'll say the government. They won't say the taxpayer. But that's a different story. Go ahead.
Yeah, if we were to make a quick comparison, let's make a quick comparison, fellas. Whose conditions would you say were more ominous? The baby penguin or Precious? That's a tough one. Whose conditions would you say were more ominous, the baby penguin or Precious? Can you call it?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I think it goes back to, you know, what I said earlier about, you know, Precious can see because of the cycle, you know what I mean? She kind of has an inkling of what's going to happen. My mama ain't never cared for me before, so, you know, I have no reason to think that she's going to start now. As with the penguin, you know, they don't know. They're completely ignorant. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't, you know, and it kind of goes, almost kind of goes back to the whole emotions thing.
Right.
I would say Precious.
Right.
You know, she has absolutely no hope.
No hope, and she got to live it every day.
Wow.
And it's not even, you know, close to, don't get me wrong, you know, baby Pig got dangers that, you know, the baby's parents will protect them from. However, Precious has no help whatsoever. None.
Yeah.
All she do is drip day to day. That's all she do.
Yeah. No.
And whatever happens, happens. She just has to deal with it. That's in her mind, that's just her life.
Yeah. Nobody standing out in the cold for her. Nobody missing a meal for her. Ain't happening.
Ain't happening.
That's right.
Ain't happening.
That's right.
So, would you say that parenthood is supposed to transform us into givers and protectors of life?
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll always say it. I mean, I know I'm looking at one side of the spectrum, but I always say that I want my son to be a better man than me all around.
Mm-hmm.
And I want him to be a better man than me at an earlier age. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not waiting for, you know, like me, I waited till like my late 20s to, you know, start wising up. And I want my son to do that already. You know what I'm saying? I want my son to do it in his teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yep. And back to what Chuck had said earlier in reference to education. Is it going to be different with your son than it was with you?
Oh, Definitely.
Right, Chuck? I mean, you're not going to, it, in your household, it's going to be understood early on. Education, college, early on. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah,
not go get a job. No, you might not even tell them to get a job.
Right.
No. You're not getting no job. The job is going to interfere with your education. No job.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yes. If anything, I want my boy to have a drive.
Right.
Yeah. I don't care what it is. As long as it ain't illegal, and long as it's going to buy himself.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. As long as he have a drive and a passion for something. I support him. If he thinks he's not ready for college, I'm not going to force him to do it. But you're going to do something. You're not going to sit around the house.
I'm about to say, I don't know. Hey, were we raised by the same person?
No. I mean, because we already know what it is.
We know what it is.
It ain't none of that.
Choices. You only had two choices. You're going to get the services. Or you gonna go ahead and get this job, or you gonna go out here and get this degree. You ain't
have
no other choice.
And I went to service immediately. 2 weeks after I graduated, I was in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. I wasn't playing around.
And this wasn't a deal. Like, you know, you shake hands and all right, that's a deal. That was a threat.
Pretty much, you don't do something. They know where I'm gonna let you know. Give you a couple of months and think, you need to be thinking about that. You'll see a great year. What you gonna do? You need to get your mind right now. And I joined the military on the delayed entry program my junior year. I knew I wasn't ready for college. I knew I was gonna wild out. I knew I was. So the plan is safe. I went to the military and still wilded out.
So how does parenthood draw us into multiple roles with multiple demands? I mean, how many different roles do we play by being a parent? I mean, with teacher, comforter, doctor, judge, I mean.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah, it's all of the above, man.
Pretty much
and
everybody.
I think that scares some men. That scares some men because they know that responsibility. And when you're used to having fun and being out there and wilding and doing how you want to do and getting up when you want to get up and working where you want to work and having many girls you want to have and just doing you, when it's time to settle down and it's time to man up, a lot of men who are men, until they face that responsibility, they punk out.
Mm. I think it's more like they're scared of change. You know what I'm saying? They're scared of the change that they have to do. See, and that's the difference between women and men. Okay, you know, a man don't get pregnant, so, you know, he can still go out wild out a little bit. A woman pregnant. Her whole life doesn't change as soon as she found out she was pregnant. As soon as that first test, her life doesn't change. It don't matter how much fun you have and you know, after the fact, your life is forever changed. Even if you have an abortion, your life is forever changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's pretty cool. As far as with a man, you know, you might have been a woman, you got a girl pregnant or a couple times over whatever, you're still wilding out. You still want to be that same person even after your child or children are born. And you can't have it both ways. You can't. You cannot have it. You can't have it both ways. Because either you're going to keep wilding out having fun and neglect your children, or you'll cut the crap out and raise your children to be better men or better women. Can't do both.
So would you say that parenthood sometimes puts us in the center of expectations that we can't fully meet?
I don't know. It all depends on how you look at it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's the expectations? I mean, as far as what a parent is supposed to do?
Let me ask it to you this way, BJ. As a parent, are the rewards for the challenges that we face always in the ways that we expect?
Not really. Not really. Because, I mean, it has to come a point in time. I can dream all day long, you know, that my expectations of me raising my boy, that he's going to become the next president of the United States when he gets up age, you know, gets up age or whatever the case may be. But he might just be a congressman. That don't mean I'm going to be pissed off at him. Oh man, I could have did better. No. Because it's gonna be a fine line between the day you stop raising your child and the day that your child becomes an adult and takes on the responsibilities as one. There's a fine line. Sometimes you just have to let go. You know, just like you know, them birds, you know, pushing the babies out the nest, or you gonna fly today. That's going today. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing. Now, I ain't saying that, you know, I'm going to kick, you know, my kid or, you know, God willing, I have some more, you know, out the house as soon as they graduate. But no, not at all. However, they're going to know in the back of their head that I ain't playing around. It's time to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So when you're out there and you need some advice or you need some help, I don't mind doing that. But when you're messing up and this and that, and I know you know better, and you know you know better, nah, bro. You gonna learn today. You live, you learn, man. Me and my old man got out issues or whatever. But my old man always said, you live, you learn. And if you don't, you ain't living. Period.
Yeah.
And you always had that tree right outside that door. Wait, man.
I'm telling you.
That tree's still there.
What about trying to step parent? Does anybody have any stepchildren?
Yeah.
Anybody have any stepchildren? Yeah.
Yep.
When you know, trying to step parent when you could never really be the biological parent. When it comes to parenthood, you know, how is that different to y'all? I mean, how is that dynamic different?
Just boundaries, man. It's just boundaries. And, you know, and again, no matter how good of a parent, how proven of a parent you are, there's still going to be boundaries with raising that stepchild. You know, even if you supersede the biological parent, there's still going to be boundaries. That's the only way. But, I mean, to do that, you have to be committed and you have to have patience. You have to have patience, because without that, you'll never. I mean, you'll be proving yourself for a long time.
Yeah, because that sounds like it'll stretch your patience to amazing lengths.
It does. I mean, because technically, you can take it. You can go either way. You can say, okay, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to be this replacement, or I'm going to be this father figure. I'm going to jump in with both feet, or I'm going to stand back, and if you need me, I'm here.
Mm.
I mean, you rightfully have the choice, either or, you know, but the stresses of it will sometimes make you say, okay, I'm going to stand back because I don't want to step on anybody's toes. Because step-parents can step on toes.
Yeah. And, you know, with those choices, T-Hawk, would you say that, you know, sometimes as a step-parent, you get a standing ovation? While at other times you get booed.
Yeah. And sometimes you just don't get anything.
Right.
Sometimes it's just, you know, don't look for attaboys. Don't look. I mean, you know, if it happens, if it doesn't happen, but you're going to be competing against the biological parents, plural.
You said parents, plural. Wow.
Yeah. Plural. Yeah. If the dad is still around, then, you know, you know that's competition. Mom, obviously, you know, it's, you know, your way or her way. If she's been doing it a certain way her whole life, let's just say she's been a single parent, she's been doing it her way, and then you come in with a different way, it's going to be a struggle. Even though you're the man of the house, but still in all, you're the man of the house, but then you're into this blended family. So how do you, you know, overcome, you know, the wall, so to speak?
Mm.
It can be done, don't get me wrong, but, you know, you have to have the patience. and you have to be, you know, well, you just got to have the patience. I'm going to leave it at that.
So how does raising children actually help us to learn more about ourselves? Or does it? Does raising children help us learn more about ourselves in any way?
I mean, I think I say yeah, it does, because pretty much you it's like you're living with your kids, man. It's like you're living twice at the same twice at the same time, because pretty much what you did as a child, 9 times out of 10, your children gonna do the same thing.
Yeah. Right, 10 times worse.
You know what I'm saying? So So when you look at your child, let's say your child gets suspended from school for fighting. You know what I'm saying? I know what I got. What I got suspended. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at that. You know, my boy. You know, why'd you hit him? You know, stuff like that. So, it's pretty much you learn from things that you consider, you know, justified or whatever the case may be as a child. And you look at that, you look at that, your child doing the same thing, and you like, well, dang, I did the same thing when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
So, it pretty much makes you a better person, you know, whether you look at it or not, whether you ignore it or not, it still makes you a better person.
Good word. Chuck, you were saying something, brother? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with what the brother said. I think, you know, you can do your best to prevent your child from making the same mistakes you did. That doesn't necessarily mean you could stop them, because sometimes they're going to have to touch the stove no matter how many times you told them it was hot. They're just going to have to touch it to see.
Yeah.
But I think you can, you know, definitely tell them, you know, don't go down this road. You know, as many things my stepdad told me, you know, don't do, and I did it anyway, and then I had to learn all of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I definitely think that you can kind of try to lead them down the right path, you know, so they won't make the same mistakes you did and waste time.
Does being a parent actually help us better understand our parents in a deeper way?
Well, Rodney, I just wanted to touch on something that you just said a second ago.
Go ahead.
I think that one of the biggest keys to parenting, especially us for us men, is once you realize that it's no longer about you, then you have a better chance at being a great parent. When we take ourselves out of the equation, just like you talked about the male penguin.
Okay, we'll do.
You talked about the male penguin, the selfless act, in reference to the food and the standing out there and the walking around with the egg on his feet or whatever the case may be. It was never about the male penguin. It was never about the female penguin. They had a job to do, and that was taking care of that chick or that egg. And I think a lot of times we think about our schedule, we think about things that we used to do, that we were happy with, yada, 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 you know, the cars that we want to drive, the house that we want to live in, whatever the case may be. But at some point, it's got to be about raising that kid and what's best for the kid. And I think that once we get to that point, I think we'll be all right.
So you're talking about achieving that unending commitment.
Unending commitment. And I'm a grandfather, and I'm still raising. And I don't think my job is over. I don't really know when it's going to be over. You know what I'm saying? But I'm still as if, you know, it was day one.
So, T-Hawk, do you think our children appreciate that fact, the unending commitment, the fact that parenting never stops? Do you think they appreciate that fact?
I will say this to you, whether they do or they don't, it doesn't matter. We still got to show up every day.
Wow.
It doesn't matter whether they do or they don't. One day they may get it, they may never. But the example will still be there for for them to move forward with that family example for their kids. Because what you show them, you hope that that's what they're going to do. You can't talk about it, though. You got to show it. You got to do it. And it's hard.
You got to be about it, yeah.
You got to be about it.
Mm-hmm. And let me bring the Penguin parents back into the conversation as we get close to shutting this thing down. The Penguin parents must tend to the chick for an additional, 4 months, shuffling back and forth to the sea in order to provide food for their young. As spring progresses, the trip gets progressively easier as the ice melts and the distance to the sea decreases. Until finally, the parents can leave their chicks to fend for themselves. And this results in regular treks from one site to the other and long periods of time without food. Question. As our children grow and get older, does parenting them become easier or harder? As our children grow and get older, does parenting them become easier or harder? Go ahead, brother.
I think it depends. Me being a step-parent to all my kids, for the youngest girl, it would be harder for me because I'm more connected with her because I was introduced to her life at an early age. But to the oldest child, it would be easier for me because there are just some lessons that I didn't get a chance to teach him in his upbringing. So I know he's going to have to learn those lessons out in the street. But I'm thankful and I hope that me and his mom are around to help him. So it will be easier for me to, quote-unquote, cut the umbilical cord, whatever that is, and say, all right, go out in the streets and show us how it's done. It will be hard for his mom because he's her firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
So that connection is there. So it will be easy for me being a step-parent, but it will be harder for her because of that maternal instinct, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. But I want to ask you, you brought up a dynamic in there in what you said, and thank you for that. Do you think it's harder to parent boys or girls?
Girls.
Somebody's laughing.
Boys.
It is.
Is that true?
It's true, man.
Go ahead, Mike, speak on it.
I got to tell you, girls, when they go through puberty,
it's horrible.
I don't know.
I say it, horrible.
I'm going to say it for you.
I know a lot of people call things hell on earth, but I'm going to tell you right now, that right there is truly hell on earth. When your
hell
girl,
on earth.
You said hell on earth? Wow.
That is. I'm going to tell you right now, this is how bad it is. My 13-year-old, we only get her every other weekend because she can't stay at the house. I said that. When we
is that bad?
When we plan family trips, she can't go with us. It's that bad. And I'm a pretty calm, even keel guy. But her mood swings and all that stuff is so bad, and it affects the whole family, the morale of the whole family, to where they don't even want to be bothered with her. And I don't want her to get that middle child syndrome.
Right.
So I try to take up for her, and she ends up turning on me also. I'm going to just tell you, man, that puberty with a boy, it's...
I've never heard it explained like that.
It's wicked.
Words. And then you get more depressed because, once she gets done with it, now she's going to become a young lady and dating and, attracted to boys. So now you got this whole other element to deal with. You know what I'm saying? Like now,
I know. I've been through it twice. I know exactly what you're saying. I'm about to go through it a third time.
Yeah, and I got to go through it twice myself.
Going through it right now.
Not looking forward to it, the way you guys talk.
Oh man, with the youngest, I'm just gonna have to. I don't know. I'm just gonna talk all the way. Because when she started talking about really expressing boys and you know all that, nah, I'm not gonna be feeling that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like in that aspect,
the attitudes are horrendous.
Mm.
The lip is worse than your wife. From those girls, I'm telling you, man, it's bad. They start smelling themselves. It's bad. It's bad.
Not looking forward to that, T-Hole.
I tell you a true story, man.
Mm-hmm.
My first wife, my oldest daughter, was in high school. Back talk. She would always say, well, such and such parents, let them do this, such and such. Always talking about somebody else's household. I was like, well, that's not going to fly in this house. Anyway, her mouth was so bad that I had to tell her mother, I was like, if she grown and she want to act like she a woman, you a woman, so why don't you handle her like a woman? I said, I won't tell nobody. Go handle your business. What you got to do?
You know, my wife, Rodney, I'm going to tell you right now,
mm-hmm.
First couple of times it happens, it's going to scare you. When your wife finally puts her foot down and she handles your first daughter,
you gotta stay
downstairs.
Stay out of it.
When I'm gonna tell you right now, my wife and the middle girl, they sync up at the same time. And when they go at it, I tell him, I say, look, you stay your dumb behind out of it. I'm gonna stay in the basement. You stay in your room. And a couple of times he didn't listen, and then he learned. He said, you know what? From now on, when they go at it, I'm gonna let them. And I'm gonna tell you. It's how you think they're going to kill each other. Let them
go.
Let them go. Don't come upstairs, whatever you do.
Let them go. Stay out of it.
I'm just taking notes, fellas. That is good.
Hey, listen. It got so bad that my daughter was really, I started to think she wasn't in the family. I started to believe that she was somebody else. Because the way she was talking to us, is as if she was an outsider, somebody on the street.
This
I was
man
like,
is...
okay. I said, okay, you want to act like somebody? And I told her mother, I said, she's talking to you like somebody on the street would. I said, you need to treat her the exact same way and get your respect back and let her understand that you can rumble just like her mouth can rumble. And let her have it.
This man is in my living room.
I'm telling you, man, I said, go for it. I'm leaving the room. Y'all handle your business. And I said, you need to whoop her ass. That's what you, look, I'm serious. Not with no belt, just like y'all in the street.
No, belt, no.
No belt, just like y'all in the street. That's how you need to do it.
Man, listen, let me tell you something, man. I don't have a daughter, but my uncle's daughter, I pretty much been, you know, around her since she was born, literally. And I come home to the county, oh man, when was this? This was last year, I believe it was. No. My grandfather died, okay? And no, it won't. She was already in college, so this happened last year, because this is her first year. So I walk in the house, you know, hug everybody, what's going on, da 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 da. I'm like, where's Michelle? And my grandmother was like, oh, she's in the room with old boy. Red flag. What old boy?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, what old boy? And so I got about the recliner, and they were like, no, don't go back. Damn all that. Excuse my friend. Oh, I walk back there. Man, you know, he don't want to do nothing crazy, nothing like that. But I talked to Michelle or whatever, and she introduced me to him, and I was like, you know, what's going on? He's like, what's going on, man? You know, dapped him up and everything. I said, who you? You know, I'm from Henderson and da 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 da. The 73rd. So, well, are you in college? He was like, yeah, but I'm transferring to where? But to Cookman. It's like, really? I was like, well, what's your major? He was like, no major right now. I was like, well, why are you transferring to Bethune Cookman? Why, you know, because he was going to win the 7th state, and he's a year older, I believe it is. Yeah. So, why are you transferring from one small HBCU to a smaller HBCU? You know what I'm saying? What does Winston have that Bethune-Cookman got? He couldn't answer the question. So, all right, cool. No, I just walked out, man. I wanted to go in on him, but she allows it. Well, she allowed it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not my place, but I feel a certain type of way. Like, nah, man, you don't be in a room, you know, on the other side of the house, chilling like it's your house. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that. You don't sit in this living room where everybody can see you.
Yeah. Right, that's old school right there.
Old school.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait, I got a question for all the fellas that have the daughters that are talking about this, because I got young ones right now. But why do the girls feel or feel like they can even get away with these actions? Like, what, you know, I know from listening to the fellas, y'all discipline your kids, but,
yeah,
you know, am I just missing it? They just totally forget that at some point?
And also, it's called being daddy's little girl.
Okay.
Daddy's little girl. You know, you feel some sort of way, I guess, about your daughter that, you know, you may let her slide a couple of times because she's giving you them puppy eyes. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, whatever. You know, I'm assuming that's what it is. I don't have a daughter. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Well, I think it's the boys. I think it's the step into womanhood when they meet a young boy and he starts shooting at that game, making her feel like she's older than she really is.
I was just about to, man, look, you know, we all know how we were when we were teenagers.
Exactly, exactly.
Do you understand that it is worse now? They don't even, these boys don't even know how to approach a young girl. They ask you for sex right off the bat.
Yeah.
Off the break.
I mean, first two lines, hey, how you doing? Let's go bump. I mean, literally.
Yeah. Yep.
Let me bring this thing back, because I got to get y'all out of here. I only got, you know, a few more questions. Good talk, fella. I want to tie this thing back to parenthood. And the film March of the Penguins was actually praised for promoting family values by showing the value of stable parenthood. Would y'all say that this movie promotes family values? From what you've heard, from how we laid it out, would y'all say that this movie actually promotes family values? Yay or nay?
I'll say yeah.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I'll say yeah. And there's a lot of people out there in this world that don't even have half the family values that the Penguins have, even though, you know, as T-Hawk pointed out, they don't have the long-term commitment. But even for the short term, there's some people out here that don't do that. So.
It's more with the Penguins. Look, I've done all I can. I've just showed you everything that you need to know. It's time to work it out.
And
literally, that's how it is, or how it's supposed to be anyway, if you instill the right things in your children. You know what I'm saying?
And listen, the director of the film actually rejected such comparisons between penguins and humans. And he was asked to comment on the film's use as a metaphor for family values, including, you know, devotion to a mate, even though it's short term, devotion to their offspring, monogamy, self-denial, all that good stuff. This is what he said, and I quote, "I condemn this position. I find it intellectually dishonest to impose this viewpoint on something that's part of nature. It's amusing, but if you take the monogamy argument from one season to the next, the divorce rate is between 80% and 90%.
Yeah.
Monogamy only lasts for the duration of one reproductive cycle. You have to let penguins be penguins and humans be humans. And this movie was actually reframed as a scientific study by adding facts that would have otherwise just made it a family movie." So the director was like, no comparisons, get it out your mind. You know, it ain't like that. That's what the director said. But many Christians saw ample evidence of God's design that allows this amazing bird to survive the Antarctic winter in a climate which no other living creature can endure, going months without food and breeding during the worst weather conditions on the earth. Now, the film also did not acknowledge God in any way, shape, or form, but do y'all think that it should have? Didn't acknowledge God.
I mean, it could have, but it would have been a lot of moaning and groaning.
Why so?
It would, I mean, think about it. Passion, I mean, I ain't trying to get off the subject of this movie, but Passion of the Christ, moaning and groaning. Moaning, it didn't happen. The Bible said it didn't happen that way. I've heard that many times over.
Yeah.
Just enjoy the movie.
And you act, that's what the filmmakers said. You're exactly right, B. You know, the filmmakers said they didn't consciously avoid these topics, but
right.
They wanted to create a documentary that will reach as many people as possible.
Exactly. Because it's people that I know personally that are atheists.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or the you know, Indian, you know, Buddha. So that, you know, focusing on one belief, you know, or a group of beliefs, you know, you kind of like, you know, for the people who don't have that belief, you push them aside. You mess up
right.
Your money, pretty much.
Pretty much. And
because it doesn't matter what you believe in, if you start a family, it's pretty much the same thing. You must sacrifice, just like them penguins do. You must sacrifice your time. You don't have the time to chill and play like you used to when you were single. It's a whole different ballgame now, partner.
Mm-hmm. And I want to get to the finale. Yeah, that's good, B. Good words. But one of the films, and I promise you only got two more questions. One of the film's most impressive scenes is when the penguins are swimming underwater looking for food before facing a predator. And their most dangerous predator is a seal. Now, it's not like the ones you see at SeaWorld, but fierce leopard seals. Question. Since we're his children, is it safe to say that God is like a father penguin? I mean, God takes care of us. He puts his hedge of protection around us. He protects us from that predator named the devil. He provides for us right when we need it most. So is God like the father penguin?
Well, wait a minute, man. First you said that the penguins were the only species to be able to survive in that element.
Yeah.
But what about the seals? What about God's relationship to the seals? They got to
Now you're talking, T-Hawk.
And what about
now
the polar bear? What about the fish? What about everything else?
Hey, and the seals ain't the only ones that go after the penguins. Killer whales,
no.
Too. Shoot, killer whales go after seals and penguins.
Yeah, because, you know, and T-Hawk is exactly right. You know, the predators, they out there, too. You know, they still got predators.
Yeah.
So they, you know, yeah, I mean, you're exactly right.
What do the seals eat?
Penguins.
What do the penguins eat?
Oh, they eat fish. They eat fish.
So then who to the fish, who are the predators?
Everybody.
Yeah, you're right. The penguins and the leopard. Yeah, everybody.
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 Everybody. So maybe they're not predators.
But I will say, if you are, you know, metaphorically speaking, as far as God being a father penguin, yeah, it's a lot of predators out here.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the predator can be a predator, and even the predator wouldn't know that they are a predator.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? I think I said that right.
You did. And earlier tonight, I don't know if you're on here, B, but earlier tonight I mentioned how sometimes a fierce storm arrives and some of the penguin chicks die if they are not under the covering of their father penguin. I don't know if y'all remember that. So is it safe to say? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you also said, though, that the penguins raise the baby penguins, and at some point they leave them to go out and fend for themselves.
Oh!
And that doesn't happen with God, no matter how you know, deep we get in our relationship with him or in the world or whatever it may be. He never leaves us, so.
Never leaves. Right. We leave him. We leave him first.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
There you go.
And that's what I was saying. So is it safe to say that if we leave from under Father Penguin's covering, God's protection, that we'll also die? Because like T.R. said, I mean, we leave. We're like, all right, you know, peace out. I'm on my own. We do that.
Yeah, but the unconditional love, man, we can come back.
We can come back. That's right.
Yeah.
Many times
we can
over.
Come back.
If we don't die first, we can come back.
If we don't die first, we can come back.
You still got to go through that predator. You still got to fight those demons. Even when you leave, you still got to fight those demons just to get back.
You
got to
fight those demons. That's right.
Mm.
But even if you, you know, you don't have to reach rigor mortis to be dead. You could be dead in the heart, dead in the soul.
Yeah.
Dead in the mind. You could be heartless.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean,
man.
So,
and,
Let me know a penguin. Let me know a penguin gets heartless.
and B, listen, at the risk of death, you know, not by cold and ice, but by fire and flames. Do we need to try to live more meticulous lives like these penguins do for our children's sake? Do we need to be more meticulous with our game?
I mean, yes and no. Yes and no, because that's a hard one to crack right there. Hold on, let me think about this one more second.
You might have to come back though. So, at the risk of death, not by cold and ice, but by fire and flames. Do we need to try to live more meticulous lives as head of households for our children's sake?
Well, that's a given. That's a given, period.
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 True.
Mm-hmm. True. And T-Hawk, listen. Does anybody know what the word imperial means? Imperial. I've got my definition. I've got my dictionary already open. And the definition of imperial is of or relating to an emperor. You know, now we're talking about God, the ultimate emperor penguin, Big Daddy Penguin, if you will. Did you realize that as a child of God, you're part of an imperial family?
Preaching.
I mean, I'm just breaking it down a little bit further. And if y'all remember, earlier we very briefly talked about how the father penguin is the one that gets to say how the nest for the family will be built. Getting close to y'all. Didn't Jesus also say that he is going to prepare a place for us?
Mm-hmm.
Did he say that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And by chance, T-Hawk, did he mention the number of rooms that were in the Father's house?
Oh, no, I know it was a mansion.
Yeah. What did he say? Somebody know it. Many rooms.
Yeah. Within the mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Not your own mansion, the mansion.
Talk about it.
Many rooms within the mansion, meaning family, mansion, emperor, we're all in the same mansion.
That's good. And if I
some people say, oh, I got my, you know, I God's got my mansion waiting for me. They got it twisted. The mansion.
The mansion.
The mansion.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am.
I don't want to live down the street.
You be out in the cold.
I don't want to live down the street. I want to live in the mansion.
The mansion.
Put my room next to yours. I want to be in the mansion.
Wow. Last question. This is, I'm gonna bring this plane on down. I got the landing gears out. But last question, fellas, I promise. Is all of this, we're talking about March of the Penguin, is all of this just one big coincidence, how God set this up in nature? I mean, are these penguins like God's instruments to hopefully try to get us on the right track as parents? Or are they just birds? Are they just birds?
I mean, if that's the case, then you can say lions do the same thing, tigers, bears, hyenas, giraffes. I mean, all the animals literally pretty much do the same thing. They protect their children, you know, feed their children, you know, teach them things, teach them how to survive. Every animal does it. Every animal or type of animal do the same thing, do the exact same thing.
They all
have
one thing in common.
There are no animals that I know of that leave their young and just, you know, up and leave. For whatever reason, and they got to fend on their own, except the sea turtle. That's it. That's it.
They all have one thing in common.
Yeah.
Might be a little profound, but it's one thing in common.
Go ahead.
God provides food and shelter for every last one of them.
Every last one of them.
Wow. Do y'all think that God wants us to look to nature and animals to figure out how to raise our families?
No. No, not at all.
Not necessarily how to raise one, but it, like I said, it's pretty much the same goal, to survive. Period. Whether it be right or wrong, in each individual eyes. Is to teach them how to survive, teach them how to hunt on their own, how to, you know, pretty much buy food. You know, how to duck for cover. You know, oh, I'm not going to this club tonight. No, I ain't doing the club tonight. You know, I'm not going to this party. You know, certain people be in here and I ain't trying to get shot. Okay, that's a boom for nobody. Same thing. It's just using, building your cubs or your babies, you know, to have some common sense about themselves. Period.
Yeah, I don't think so at all, Rodney. And the reason why I say that, because somewhere in the Bible, it talks about God taking care of the birds. Every day, and that
every day,
and that if He takes care of the birds, why would He take care of us, which are more important than the birds? Is that right?
I believe Paul said that.
Paul said that, exactly. And we are more important, more significant than the birds. So, birds being, why would we have to reflect back on something that's less important than us for an illustration on how to raise our family?
You got it.
And here's the thing, you know, God's design is perfect for the family. And we are seemingly the only species that goes against that. You know, we let the environment, we let everything else come in our way to interfere with God's design for our family. The penguins don't do that. All the other animals don't do that. In spite of their environment, they still fulfill that design.
They don't.
Wow.
Preach.
Wow. T-Hawk didn't think we'd get there, but we got there. He was worried. But what color are penguins? As we close, what color are penguins?
Black and white.
Brown and white, right?
Black and white.
Black and white.
black and white.
So do y'all think that it's a coincidence that as America is so polarized and divided that we're, I mean, wait. I mean, they had a march yesterday, and here we are talking about a march here tonight. But I want to hold it there because we got to get to the conclusion. We'll pick it up in open mic. The conclusion, your favorite part. We got to get you all out of here. We'll flip it over to open mic. We'll open the phones up. Here's the conclusion, fellas. These emperor penguins display great endurance in carrying out the task of not only surviving, but also in bringing new penguins into the world, from their long and treacherous 70-mile journey to their traditional breeding ground, to how the mother and father penguin take turns guarding and nurturing the precious egg and later the newborn chick, all while enduring temperatures as low as 80 below, 100-mile-per-hour winds, and a 125-day fast. God's handiwork is unmistakable. All their lives, their efforts will be for their one offspring. Some penguins will not survive the repetitive journeys, and many chicks will be lost along the way. Since there are more females than males, not everyone finds a mate. Not every couple manages to successfully transfer the egg from mother to father. Not every father makes it through the winter. Not every mother evades the hungry leopard seals and comes back with food. Not every hatchling survives the cold and the predators. Every chick waddling on the ice is a miracle of survival. The number of chicks that come out of this process is actually a small percentage of the number of couples that try to procreate. For the chick to survive, both parents must make multiple arduous journeys between the ocean and the breeding grounds. Both penguin parents press themselves against the most dire and demanding of circumstances to preserve the fragile new life that they've created. Unfortunately, fellas, there are human men and women, and sadly, boys and girls, that are unequipped to parent despite their capacity to fertilize and gestate.
Preach.
Penguins can teach us a lot about relationships by choosing one of the harshest and cruelest places on earth to make their home. They must give their full devotion of love to their family, otherwise they won't succeed. It is love that drives these strange creatures and makes them so endearing, and it's their willingness to sacrifice that makes them so admirable. But T-Hawk had it right. Trying to use animal behavior as an example for human behavior is a mistake. We must be careful about using examples from the animal world to support human morality. Remember, man was made in the image of God. Even though our body has features which enable us to be classified in the same group as mammals, humans were created differently than animals. There's an insurmountable gap between people and animals. God gave us his word to inform us of right and wrong, so we don't get our morality from animals. This documentary showed what happened when a young chick didn't make the tricky transfer from dad to mom. When a failed transfer resulted in a frozen newborn chick, a grieving mother tried to steal another penguin's chick. The other penguins wouldn't allow it, and the mother had no choice but to head back to sea. This is yet another reminder, fellas, of how we live in a fallen world, which includes death and suffering. Until the young chicks are old enough to feed themselves, the mother and father would take turns feeding their chicks by heading back and forth to sea. Once the baby penguins are able to dive and fish on their own, it will be another 4 years before they'll be able to join the ritual march to their breeding grounds. This movie certainly illustrates the phenomenal design in the animal kingdom, and that design includes instincts for social behavior. But such animal behavior should not be used to make moral decisions about marriage or divorce, faithfulness or monogamy, because man was created in God's image and is distinctly and significantly different from any animal. Finally, fellas, parenthood is a choice to affirm, to protect, to nurture, and to relish the immense burden and preciousness of life.
For 4 years, the chicks will live at sea. But as the sunlight begins to disappear at the end of their fifth year, and the warm days begin to cool, they too will climb out of the water, and they will march, just as they have done for centuries, ever since the Emperor Penguin decided to stay, to live, and love in the harshest place on Earth.
That concludes our show for the evening, fellas. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of our virtual talk show produced by Married Men Don't Talk. We hope that you enjoy the show. You can join us again next Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And next week's topic will be... masturbation. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Be here.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Right. Be here. Be here, fellas. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. For more information,
right.
Please feel free. Yeah, yeah.
Masturbation versus marriage.
Oh, excuse me. Pardon me, sir. Masturbation versus marriage. Let me get it right. Masturbation versus marriage. Yeah. Be here anyway. Masturbation or masturbation versus marriage. We're going to talk about it. For more information, please feel free to visit both of our websites. We have two now, householdstress.com and marriedmendonttalk.com. Those websites, again, householdstress.com and marriedmendonttalk.com.